Book of Revelation. We are on chapter 20. We're only going to read verses 11 through 15 this morning. And then I'm going to encourage you to find your outline as well this morning. On the back of that outline, we have the Belgic Confession, Article 37. And in that article, it talks about the Last Judgment. The Belgic Confession is one of the creeds, confessions of the RCA. And most Reformed churches carry the Belgic Confession. And so you'll probably be familiar with it somewhat, but probably not what we're going to discuss today. And so the title of my message is Judgment Before the Great White Throne. And we are not going to read the first part of chapter 20. We're going to actually discuss some of that in Sunday school this morning, if you'd like to be a part of that. We're going to talk about the defeat of Satan and the thousand-year period in our Sunday school class this morning. But because of the sake of time, we only have three Sundays left for the book of Revelation, and we're going to end it up pretty quick. But this is one I wanted to hit on this morning. There is a lot of confusion around this topic. I've heard a lot of different people talk about, what does this look like? What's this going to be about? And so this morning, I hope to unpack that for you this morning. And you'll probably have more questions when you leave here, and that's okay. And if you have them and you want to contact me or email me, you by all means can. And I will try to answer that to the best of my ability. We do not have everything, but we have some. And so we're going to learn that this morning. So read along with me from beginning at verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And then if you turn in your outline on the back of that, I also have it on the screen, but it might be a little small because it is a little bit lengthy. So I'm going to do my best to read it off the screen so those of you that are listening online this morning can also follow along. So if Colin, if you'd put that on the screen as well, there'll be, I think, 4 pages of this morning. But follow along in your outline, and you're going to get to see bits and pieces of that. At the bottom of that, you'll see the different Bible verses that are reflected of where this information come from. I won't go through those, but you can do that on your own at home. Finally, we believe according to God's word that when the time appointed by the Lord has come, which is unknown to all creatures, and the number of elect is complete, our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven, bodily and visibly, as he ascended, with great glory and majesty to declare himself the judge of the living and the dead. He will burn this old world in fire and flame in order to cleanse it. Then all human creatures will appear in person before the great judge, men, women, and children who have lived from the beginning until the end of the world. They will be summoned there with the archangel's call and with the sound of God's trumpet. Now let me clarify, that is trumpet number 7 is what we're talking about here, okay? For all those who died before that time will be raised from the earth, their spirits being joined and united with their own bodies in which they lived. And as for those who are still alive, they will not die like the others, but will be changed in the twinkling of an eye from perishable to imperishable. Then the books, that is, the consciences, will be opened, and the dead will be judged according to the things they did in the world, whether good or evil. Indeed, all people will give account of all the idle words they have spoken, which the world regards as only playing games. And then the secrets and hypocrisy of all people will be publicly uncovered in the sight of all. Therefore, with good reason and thought of this judgment, is horrible and dreadful to wicked and evil people. But it is very pleasant and a great comfort to the righteous and elect, since their total redemption will then be accomplished. They will then receive the fruits of their labor and of the trouble they have suffered. Their innocence will be openly recognizable by all. And they will see the terrible vengeance that God will bring on the evil ones who tyrannized, oppressed, and tormented them in this world. The evil ones will be convicted by the witness of their own consciences and shall be made immortal, but only to be tormented in the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angel. In contrast, The faithful and elect will be crowned with glory and honor. The Son of God will profess their names before God his Father and the holy and elect angels. All tears will be wiped from their eyes, and their cause at present, condemned as heretical and evil by many judges and civil officers, will be acknowledged as the cause of the Son of God. And as a gracious reward, the Lord will make them possess a glory such as the human heart could never imagine. It's a pretty powerful statement when you think about it. So we look forward to that great day with longing in order to enjoy fully the promises of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Article 37 of the Belgic Confession. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here in your name and we hear from your word again from the book of Revelation, we pray that you bring that word to life. Lord, I pray that you open the hearts, minds, and souls that are gathered here today in your house and those that are listening online. Lord, may you bless them with that same spirit and just feed them today. May they be stretched and may they learn something new about their faith. May they be encouraged. And Lord, I pray that these words are your words and never mine, and I pray you fill me with that same spirit. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. This morning, I have a question for you, and that is simply this: Judgment Day. What is going through your mind when you think of this day? Now, we've just read quite a bit of information, and I hope that you pick some things up, but here might be one of the feelings that you might be feeling, is that, is there some fear of Judgment Day? Maybe there's some anticipation. Maybe there's some nervousness about what that day will be or like. Maybe you're not feeling much at all because you're hoping that it never comes. But that's not reality. Standing before the great white throne, standing before Jesus and God the Father, and everything you've done upon this earth, whether good or evil, will be on display. What are you feeling? What's going through your mind? It seems very intimidating and maybe even downright scary, doesn't it? But everything I just told you, everything that I just asked of you, is true if you're not a believer. It will be a scary day. It will be a terrible day. It's a day that they don't want to come. It's a day they do not look forward to. And some will probably outright deny that day, along with God the Father. But my goal for you this morning is that for you to somewhat understand what Judgment Day will be about, what it will be like. And for me, I've shared this often in this book of Revelation, there is great comfort when I know more about something that I don't understand. It brings me some peace when I have understanding a little bit of what's going on. And so you're going to learn some of that this morning. So hopefully by the end of this message, I hope that you feel some comfort about this day, that it's not a scary day for believers. It's a day that we should look forward to. Verse 12 says this: "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne." And I just want to start there, and we'll get into other verses as we go, but I want you to understand what great and small means. It means that everyone will be judged. Everyone. Doesn't matter about your status, maybe your ability in the community, how wealthy you are, how poor you are, how faithful you were, how unfaithful you were. Everyone will stand before God in judgment one day. From the beginning of time to the end of time, each and every one of us will stand there. And your grandma won't be there to hold your hand, by the way, because she'll be there as well. But I don't want you to worry about this day. I want you to know about this day, and I want you to understand this day, and I want you to be encouraged by my message this morning. Now, you're going to hear some harsh things as well, right? But you're also going to hear some encouraging things from this message this morning. And I shared with you that we don't know everything about Judgment Day, but the Bible does give us some description of what this day will look like. And so we're going to go through this verse by verse. And if you have your Bible open with me, follow along. We're going to start in verse 11 this morning. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place is found for them. Now remember that this is a book of great symbolism, and John is trying to explain to us what this is going to be like in earthly terms, in our language. The throne being great speaks of the power and the might of the triune God. Large, overpowering, awesome in size, unbelievable. And white speaks of the purity and the righteousness of God. And there's some debate who sits on this throne. And so we might wonder, some people think it's God the Father. Others believe that it's Jesus Christ because God commanded Jesus that he would be on the judgment seat one day in Scripture. But here's the point. I don't think any of that matters. What matters is, where are you going to go on that day? That's what matters. And that's what I want you to understand as well. Revelation 20, verse 12 is where we begin to wonder. Let me click the next one. There we go. If you follow along with me in Scripture and you read, notice that there's different sets of books. All right, what are these books? So we're going to talk about that this morning. If you have a business, is it good to keep two sets of books? Some are shaking your head, yeah. You ever heard the term cooking the books? Or you got one set of books, you show the auditor, and the other one's kind of reality of what's going on? Yeah, those types of things. Well, this morning we're going to learn about some different books here this morning. Now, these are good books, and they're bad books. And you'll understand why in just a little bit, depending what side you're on. But here's what it says. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Now notice that this is not the book of life. It says books were opened. And so I want to explain to you what these books are. The books that are opened are in this verse are the records of our public and private deeds. It is a record of your life here on earth, of all the good that you did, and all the bad things that you did, all recorded. And each and every one of us has our own book. Now, you could say, well, this is a symbol. Now, notice you read the Belgic Confession. It said the books are open, the consciences are open, meaning that the memory of God, of your life, comes forth. Now, it might not be a literal book. You're going to get up there and, you know, Rob was a nice guy on November 1st, 2020, and da-da-da-da. I don't think it's going to be like that. But God will know the story of your life, and he'll be able to share that with you in judgment. Now, hold on to that thought. Those deeds and stuff that's done in the books. And each one of you has your own book, which I think is great. Now, that might be a little bit scary to you and I this morning to know that everything's been wrote down, bad and good. We might be a little nervous about that because we might be thinking, oh my, I probably shouldn't have done that, right? Or maybe I need to be careful of the way that I live my life. And yeah, you should, but there's some grace here, and we'll get to that in a moment. But Luke 12, verse 3 says this, "Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops for everyone to hear." See, there's no secret with God on anything in the way that we live our lives. And each person will be judged according to what they have done or had done in their life. So for believers, here's a question for you this morning. Will we be judged according to what we've done? Are we judged by our faith in Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is both this morning. But before we go there, let's separate the sheep from the goats. All right? Now, do you understand when I say the sheep and the goats? You know, we have the Bible, and I can't remember, it might be in Matthew, you'd have to look that up. But where the Lord says, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats, and he talks about those who are part of the flock and the church, believers in Jesus Christ, and the goats are those that are not, that are going to be condemned to hell, right? Those are people's lives. So let's separate those two just for a moment here. And so I'm going to back up with you, and I didn't read this, but I want you to give you some understanding in Revelation chapter 20 before verse 11. Satan, his demons, all those left upon the earth that turned their back against God through the plagues, and remember all those stories of the seals and those who outright denied God, they have been judged to this point, destroyed, thrown into hell, into the lake of burning sulfur is what the Bible says. So I want you to understand where we're at in the system. God's church has left earth now. We've heard the trumpet call. Those that are left on the earth, Satan and all his angels, demonic angels, and the unbelievers who deny God, they've been judged. They are no longer upon the earth. They've been thrown into hell. And now people are going to stand before the great white throne for judgment day. Sometimes you hear pastors talk about multiple judgments in the book of Revelation. There's different things going on at different times. Notice that the inhabitants of the earth, they've already been judged of where they're going. And let me just share this with you, and I got to follow my notes so I don't lose my spot here. The seventh trumpet has blown. Jesus has judged the believers who are still alive upon the earth, and he's taken them with him. And the unbelievers have also been judged upon the earth, those who remain alive when Jesus returns. And then we pick up on verse 12 when John says, I saw the dead standing before the throne. That is not those that were upon the earth yet and still alive when Jesus came back. That's all of those who are living, Christians, let me clarify that are in the graveyard today. And unbelievers who are buried in the graveyard today when God will resurrect their bodies. Okay, verse 12. That's what we see now. So we know that the graves are open. Those people have been resurrected from the dead, and they stand before the throne. But before I go there, let me separate the sheep and the goats. When you and I die, this is very important for you to understand. And I think most of you get this and know this. But the day that you die, you are judged. Whether you're going to go to hell or you're going to go to paradise. Your fate is sealed the day that you die. And I don't know when that's going to be. Only God knows that. Are you ready? And your soul goes immediately to one of two places. Now, if you haven't, remember, were part of you, part of my heaven series here a couple years ago. I did a whole series on heaven, all right? And I touched briefly on that, but I'm going to go there again this morning. When you die, your spirit either goes immediately to paradise. Remember the thief on the cross? Jesus looked at him and he said, what to him? For today you'll be with me in paradise, right? Now, paradise is not the new heaven or the new earth that Revelation 20 and 21 speaks about. That is to come yet. And so your soul goes to be in the presence of Jesus when you die immediately. And I if I was to guess, maybe the throne room of heaven. And you hang out there for a while. Now don't hear me say that, are you talking about purgatory? No, not at all. But if you die and you're not a believer, your soul gets judged and immediately gets thrown into it. The Bible calls Sheol, which would be Greek, for a temporary hell. And your spirit just hangs out in one or two places until Jesus returns, and then he resurrects the bodies, your soul's rejoined with your body, and you stand before the great white throne. Before God the Father, or Jesus Christ, to be judged. You tracking with me yet so far? Shake your head yes if you are. I need you to get this and understand this because it's important. It's a little bit confusing, right? The final heaven and the final hell are still to come. And today we live in the temporary of paradise and Sheol. And if you die, you go to one of those two places. In fact, here we go. The Heidelberg Catechism, question answer 57. In the purple box, if you're with me this morning, I do not have that on your paper, maybe a note about it. But here's something I want to read to you this morning. How does the resurrection of the body comfort you? All right, we think about those loved ones who've died and gone on to heaven already. We wonder, where are they? What's going on? Not only will my soul be taken immediately after this life, so as soon as you take your last breath upon this earth, your soul goes immediately to be with Jesus, right? But also my very flesh will be raised by the power of Christ, reunited with my soul, and made like Christ's glorious body. That's on Judgment Day. When your soul is reunited with your body, and you stand before the great white throne on Judgment Day. Now let me touch on hell just a little bit. When he sees the resurrection of the dead, those who are in temporary hell will be judged and thrown into the everlasting lake of fire in eternal hell forever. By the way, once you die, there's no changing locations. You don't get to move from hell to heaven or from heaven to hell once your fate is sealed in your life. You did get to determine that today through Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that many will end up in this eternal hell, for the road is wide. That's what Jesus speaks to us. Now let's move on to something a little happier, all right? Something a little bit more joyful. Will believers, remember back to that question, be judged according to what we've done or by our faith in Jesus Christ? And I told you the answer is both. Well, if you look at James 2:17, I got that on the screen along with Ephesians in the green box. Look what these verses say. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead, right? The two always go together. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, because you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Don't hear me say that you can work your way into heaven, because you cannot. Only by the grace of God do you have salvation. And the gift of Jesus Christ do you have salvation. But good deeds do matter. They are the fruit of your faith. Faith in God produces good deeds, a heart that is willing and ready to serve God in this world. So how do we know if someone has faith? Look for the fruit that they're producing. Look for that fruit. Look how they're living their lives. Look what they're doing, you know, wherever they are. But be careful. Do not judge them, because some fruit is unseen. You don't know that it's going on. But you can tell when you're around a believer. Faith is what gets you into heaven. Your deeds is what you're judged on. And there's a whole nother sermon behind that about that topic that I can't get there today. Let's talk about the second book, because the books work together. The second book is called the Book of Life. You guys have heard about this before. We touched on it briefly. Our names need to be in this book to have salvation with Jesus Christ. And here's where it all comes together. So if you leave here today, this is what I want you to understand and take home. So if your name's written in the Book of Life, then all the bad things that are written in your other book have been erased. Did you hear me? All the bad things, all the evil things in your book. Remember the book of deeds, good and evil? has all been erased if your name is in the book of life, because you have been what through Jesus Christ? Forgiven by the blood. All those bad things are gone. They're not there. That's good news. That's encouraging. Because you and I know that our list would be quite long of bad things in the book of deeds, right? So how do we keep erasing the bad things in the book? You and I keep asking for forgiveness. We repent, right? First John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God removes them as far as the east is from the west, is what the Bible says. They're gone. And the only thing that you have in your book when you stand before God on judgment day is the good things. That's all he's going to see. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, all the bad is gone. The Bible also speaks that some will have more than others and will be rewarded accordingly. Revelation 22 speaks of that, and we'll probably get into that in the next few sermons. But it says in verse 12, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he or she has done, is what God says. And I can't go into great detail on that today because you'd be here for a while yet. But what I want you to get is that judgment day for believers is a day of celebration. It's a day that you get to stand before your God Almighty or Jesus Christ, and he's going to say to you, well done, good and faithful Savior. You should look at the good deeds on your book. Good job, son. Good job, daughter. Here's your reward, eternity with me in heaven forever. That's what that day is going to look like. You're going to stand before your God in white, clean clothes, pure, holy, perfect. Those who are still alive when Jesus returns, and those who have gone on before us that are dead and gone, all together in the presence of Jesus Christ. A day of celebration. Don't be scared of this day. Look forward to it, for heaven awaits. But let me also put a little bit of a challenge out there for you this morning. So we have a lot of drama in Revelation 20 when we open these books and we talk about these books as they affect our life. But here's what I want you to keep in mind. Our earthly lives are full of meaning because they're lived in light of eternity. What you do here today on earth matters. Remember that. Now, this is not to scare you, but it's to make us conscious of the seriousness of life alongside of its gifts and its pleasures that we experience and we live every day. The way you choose to live your life matters to God, but also it matters where you will spend eternity. And that's what it's about. And if you want to know, how do I spend eternity with God? How do I get to this place you call heaven? It's giving your life to Jesus Christ, and it's choosing to follow him as your Lord and Savior right now, today, here on earth. That's how it matters. I want you to think about that in your own life this morning. I don't know where you're at. I'm assuming that I'm preaching to most of you that already have that relationship and have that salvation, but maybe you don't this morning and need to hear that. And all God says is, believe in my son. He died for your sins. The reward is waiting for you. So may Judgment Day be a day of celebration. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.